The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on January 26, 1992 in Bangalore, Karnataka, India. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, verse 8 through 9. The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on January 26, 1992 in Bangalore, Karnataka, India. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, verse 8 through 9.
By practice of devotional service. performed with the present senses. This love of God is now in a dormant state in everyone's heart, and their love of God is manifested in different ways, but it is contaminated by material association. Now the heart has to be purified of the material association, and that dormant natural love for Krishna has to be revived. That is the whole process. To practice the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, one should, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, follow certain principles. One should rise early in the morning, take bath, enter the temple, and offer prayers and chant Hare Krishna. Then collect flowers to offer to the deity, cook foodstuffs to offer to the deity, take prasadam, and so on. There are various rules and regulations which one should follow. And one should constantly hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees. This practice can help anyone to rise to the level of love of God, and then he is sure of his progress into the spiritual kingdom of God. This practice of Bhakti Yoga, under the rules and regulations, with the direction of a spiritual master, will surely bring one to the stage of love of God. Thus ends the Bhakti Siddhanta Swami translation and purport to text 9 and 8 and 9 of chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the matter of devotional service, spoken on this 26th of January 1992, in the 505th year of our Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Tat Sat. These are very important verses spoken today. Lord Krishna is giving advice to Arjuna how to attain Him. One is for those who already have devotion for the Lord, they will do these things naturally. The other is for those who want to achieve God in life, but they do not yet have the full devotion. They cannot concentrate their mind all of the time. So instead, they need to guide themselves by a regulated practice of devotional service. According to some routine, they rise in the morning, they chant japam, they visit temple, they eat Krishna prasadam, they hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. They do various practices for their own upliftment. Why will someone do these things? Why should someone achieve God? In material life, people are very ignorant of their own nature. Actually, Sanatana Goswami was a very elevated Brahmana, and he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was also the Prime Minister for a very big empire. But he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said that people respect me as a great Pandit. They say that I'm very learned Brahmana, but actually I'm a fool, because I don't clearly know who I am. Who am I? This basic question. Unless I answer, how can I consider myself to be a Pandit? So, with a straw in my teeth, I humbly approach you, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to please guide me. Tell me, who am I? What is the real nature of the self? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he then gave the answer. Jiva Sarupoi Krishna Nitya Das, that the Sarup, or the eternal nature of the living entity, is that he is eternally the servant of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states, Mamaivamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatano, that the living entities are my eternal parts and parcels. We are eternally heart of Krishna. The Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha, as it states in Brahma Samhita, Ishwaraha Paramaha Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. He is eternally blissful knowledge with full transcendental form. So we are not different from Krishna, we are minute parts of Krishna. Just like a spark has the same qualities of the fire, so we have a similar quality as Krishna, but the spark can never become Krishna. The spark can never become the fire. We can similarly never become Krishna. But when that spark is separated from the fire, the spark is very weak. But when the spark is in the fire, it has a very big effect. When we are in Krishna consciousness, when we are in Krishna bhakti, then we have got the full power of the Lord behind us. But when we are separated due to material conditioning, in the conditioned life, then we are very minute, very insignificant. So the whole path of spiritual life is meant to purify our senses and bring us back to this pure Satchidananda state. So the process of Bhakti Yoga is a process of purification. What is that we have to be purified from? Why are we in this material world to begin with? We are the Krishna Das, we are the servant of Krishna, but we are in this material world because we want to be Krishna. We want to be the controller. We want to be the Lord of everything we see. We think that this world is for us to enjoy, that we are the master of everything we see. If a little fly lands on top of the house, he thinks this house is mine. If we put a boundary around a piece of land, then we think, now this land is mine. This is such and such state, or such and such municipality, or such and such country. This is my property. But the real proprietor is who? Not the country, not the state, not the municipality, not the individual owner. The real proprietor is Krishna. He is the ultimate proprietor. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Sunidam sarvabhutanam gyatvan van shanti vrikshati. When the world will understand this, that there is only one owner of everything, that's God, that's the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, Krishna, then there will be peace in the world. Until that time, there will be so much fighting. So we are in this world because we are not recognizing that everything is Krishna. We have a proprietary right, only secondary. We are given these things to serve Krishna with them. Then we get liberation. Just like electricity can be used to either cool something down in a refrigerator or to heat something up on a hot plate. Similarly, the same energy, if we use it in the service of Krishna, it becomes a cause of liberation. If we use it for our own sense gratification, it becomes a cause of karmas and bondage. Sita is Lakshmi. When Sita is with Ram, for Hanuman, Sita is all good fortune. But because Ravana wanted to steal Sita and enjoy Krishna's energy, enjoy Rama's energy, therefore for him Sita was the cause of his total destruction. If we take the energy to be God and we use it in his service, we get all the good fortune. If we use it for our own pleasure without thinking that this should be used for Krishna, then it becomes a cause of bondage. But being in this material world, we are not able to be free from enjoying. Therefore, Krishna is saying that you regulate yourself to devotional service. You offer whatever you do to me as a devotion. In this way, although it appears like a material activity, it's actually spiritual. If you're a farmer, you do farming for Krishna. If you're a businessman, you do some business for Krishna. If you're a housewife, you raise your children to be nice devotees of Krishna and encourage the husband in God-conscious activity. If you're a writer, you write for Krishna. If you're an artist, you do artwork for Krishna. Whatever you have ability, you do that in such a way Krishna is pleased. What is the difference? difficulty. So this is the actual purpose of Sanatana Dharma, is to bring us back to the Paramapada. This material world is a place of suffering. It's a dukkhalaya asvasvatam. It's a temporary place where we are forced to suffer. But for the devotee, there is no suffering. Why is there suffering? They are taking everything as Krishna's mercy, and so they are always in a festive mood. We are just enjoying some festivals here, Rath Yatra festival. Now we are having various programs. So everything is very wonderful and enjoyable to be present with so many enlightened souls like yourself, so bright faced. What is the difficulty? To be able to discuss these topics, to sing the bhajans, to feast on the prasada. What is the difficulty? For these very easy and enjoyable activities, because they're all done with the purpose of pleasing Krishna and Balaram, we are given the highest blessings. So, for the yogis, they are doing so much tapasya, they have to suffer so much to get moksha. But for the bhakti yogas, they have to enjoy so many festivities. This is the tapasya. Instead of going to cinema hall, you come to temple and sing and dance. There's nothing that's not enjoyable. But that little tapasya we do, that's enough to please Krishna. And that pleases Krishna more than if you do the Padmasana for hours together. So this path is handed down by the great acharyas. But sometimes what happens is in a different kula or in a different situation. Sometimes the purpose gets lost and people are just doing their rituals without knowing the purpose. Somehow the things get lost, but blindly we may stick to it. So there's a story called the Tasta Kupa. That one time in a village, there was a family that was very well established. For many generations they lived in the same place. And three generations before, the grandfather, he had got a very nice kupa or well. And this well was giving very nice sweet water. And that water was considered the best water in the whole village. Everyone was going to get the drinking water from that well. But what happened? That after 100 years had gone by, that well had become contaminated. There were various leaves falling in the well. There was one frog. He had fallen in the well and died. His floating belly up, white belly up, rotting in the well. There's a green algae is growing in the well. It's become a green, thick water. One bird was falling, going by. The smell was so bad, he fell in the well and died. The crow is lying, dead body, floating in the water. Like this, the well had become very dirty. And then the bad smell was coming by, he felt like sick. But that householder, he was very strict. So we must respect what our forefathers have done. They have given us this well. We have to drink the water from this well no matter what. Tathasta Kupam, he would say, their well, the forefathers' well, we must drink this water. So all the villagers are telling you, don't drink the water, it's gone up. Your forefathers got a nice well, but you didn't keep it clean. You can't drink the water as it is. But he'd say, nothing doing, get out of here, don't meddle in my affairs. Tathasta Kupam, this is my well, the forefathers' well, the family well. We must drink from this water only. And he'd make his wife, his children drink that water. They're getting skin disease, they're getting stomach ache, we don't care. Tathasta Kupam, our well. It's very strict. So the neighbors, they went and approached the city, the panchayat, health officer, district, medical officer, and many appeal. This well is gone bad. They sent an inspector and he gave the order, close the well. But that person told him, well, you get out, I don't care for your order. Tathasta Kupam, my well, the family well, the forefathers' well. We'll never stop. So then health officer went to the police that if they're not following my order, that the police are giving the order, they went to stop. When the police came, he pulled out his shotgun. Out of here! To death! To pass the good bone! Our well! Forefathers' well! We will never stop drinking this water! Get out of here! So the police had to go and get the whole battalion becoming a war. But meanwhile, while they're getting orders to make a major attack, the wife died, the son died, even the man himself, he died. Food poisoning, typhoid, bad water. It was the end of the story. It may be that someone in the forefathers, they were for the previous gurus, previous succession, maybe they were following in a very proper way. But through the passage of time, things have become distorted, become contaminated. People lost what is their real purpose. They are just going to the rituals, just going to the motion. They are not getting purified. Rather, they are getting contaminated. Therefore, one needs to be very dynamic. And see, according to sadhu, according to shastra, according to guru, whether this effect is there, whether it's authorized. Moreover, Bhagavad says that dharma is like a medicine. When we take it, we should feel the effect. Dharma samusthita sam vishvakshenu patasu jat notpanaya yati ratin srama eva hi kevalam. If they're doing dharma, that effect should be there. We are feeling rati. We are feeling a devotion and love for the Lord. Otherwise, if we are just doing and we are not feeling any bhakti for the Lord, we are slamming keva. We are simply expending energy with no fruit, no result. So that we have to see whether we are really getting the effect, whether the effect is there. Otherwise, if we are just blindly following the tradition without knowing the real purpose, it may be that somewhere along the line the whole thing has become distorted. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he advised that those who are really interested in making spiritual advancement in life, who really want to achieve the Lord, they need to very carefully study the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavat. These two books are especially meant in Kali Yuga for those who want to achieve perfection in life. All Vedas are considered, the cream of the Vedas are considered to be Gita and Bhagavad. Gita is the cream of the Vedas and Bhagavad is considered the ripened fruit. So these two books in some ways they can grasp the essence of the whole Vedic culture and purpose. Of course, sometimes what happens is that people, they may know that there's something going wrong, but they don't care anymore. It becomes institutionalized and it becomes like a cheating. There's a story about one time, there was one night guard. He was chokidar of the village. He was very respected chokidar. He was keeping the whole village protected all the night. In the night he'd be walking and with his stick he'd be tapping. He'd go on tapping the road and everyone would know he's guarding, we're safe. But he had another side business. His side business, he was also a thief. So, he would go and steal from the people's house. Then he would go and just arrest some drunk or some bomb there and he put two of the items in his pocket. Grabbing him up, shaking him, you know, beating him. I saw this man by your house. These things he has in his pocket. Are these your things? So he asked him, you've got these are my things. How did you get? Oh, you've done such a good job. But there are many other things missing. Anyway, something you got this thing. Actually, main thing he kept it. You think he just showed everyone thought very expert for chokidar. He always gets his teeth. But he never actually is the thief. So this way is going on. So one day he decided, I want to get the lakhpati, the richest man in the village. His wealthy, maybe even corporately, I don't know, very wealthy, that time not wealthy, now it's corporately. This was some time ago. He decided that I went in the Amavasya night, dark moon night, I'm going to take a step. So he went inside the house in the dark moon night to steal. Then he found inside the house there was another thief. So then he said, I'm going to arrest you. Then that thief said, to me too. You be quiet, I'll be quiet. You're a big chokidar. You got a big salary, you got some respect in our village. If you get the deal, I'll tell everyone, you're a thief. You'll be disgraced, you'll lose your salary, you'll be forced to suffer. To me, I'm a regular thief. You arrest me and you beat me a few times, put me in jail for a few months, I'll come out and again start stealing. Doesn't make any difference to me. But to me, too, I'm teaching. You don't tell anybody you're stealing, I don't tell anybody. You don't tell I'm stealing, I don't tell you're stealing. We'll steal from this man, give me up the good, and then after that, to me, too, I'm teaching. So then, they stole from that man, but that one thief, he took most of the thing, gave a few things to Chokida and ran off. So this day, Kumnichu, Mamnichu was going on. You see, even in a, not only in a religion, in science, in so many areas, people are not given a true picture. So you don't criticize me, I won't criticize you. But if you're doing something wrong, why should I say if other people are being misleaded, misled? But this is our problem. Say, no, no, you do me too, I'll do you too. You don't know anything, I won't say anything. Even it came out in Newsweek and Time magazine that some time ago one Nobel Prize winner, laureate, who has become very good, a great physics expert, he was found that his associate was cheating an experiment. She was putting in a false data. But when her assistant was another junior doctor holder. She revealed that this associate is actually cheating. This is not the true figure she's giving. Then initially all the other scientists said, it's only true. What are you doing? Don't tell anybody. You're going to lose the faith of the people in science. You see, but the whole thing backfired. Newsweek and Time, they put their own article in it. Then they all have to come public. Oh, I'm very good today. We're glad you revealed this thing. I see they didn't want anyone to know that the cheating was going on. So then it was revealed that the scientists amongst themselves, many times these things are going on, they just keep it under the lid. They don't want anyone to know. So finally that person had to the Nobel Peace, the science winner. He had to give up his professorship and fellowship at the university. He was also disgraced. So these things are going on. But this way, what's happening is that people get misled. So at least, we don't want to offend anyone. We don't criticize anyone. But we have to speak whatever the Shastra says. If that doesn't fit someone else's idea, then they can also speak from Shastra and anything we're saying is wrong. Because whatever we do, we have to guide according to the Shastra, otherwise we'll be in a wrong path. You see, we need a proper guidance. I told before the story about the blind man who was being led by the cow. You might remember. There was one blind man and he was being led. Actually, he was wanting to visit his father-in-law's house. So he was going along the way, but he was finding it hard to find the way, so he was asking people how to get to my father-in-law's house. So one person he asked was a cowherd boy. He said, oh yes, I know your father-in-law very well. I have one of his cows. And I am regularly taking care of the cow for your father-in-law. Oh, very good, please take me to his house. So, no, how can I take you? I have the cows will go up here and there.
I have to take care of that house. And how will I get there? I'm blind. It's very hard for me to find the way. So, okay, look here. This cow belonging to your father-in-law is very good. You just hang on the tail of the cow, and the cow will lead you. All right, why not? So the man, he was hold on, he said, whatever you do, don't let go of the tail of the cow. Hold on. So he grabbed onto the tail of the cow, the blind man. Now the cow doesn't know who is this fellow who is holding on my tail. So the cow became angry and gave it a kick. When he got a kick, boom! He pulled back. When he pulled the tail of the cow became frightened and ran off. And then he's being pulled, and the cow goes into the forest, and there's all the thorns ripping his clothes, ripping him. Being pulled behind the cow. The cow goes over the rock. He's bruised and injured all over. Then they're still holding on the cow. Finally, the cow goes to the house. The servant of his father-in-law said, who is this man holding on the cow tail of my master? He must be a cow thief. Chur, chur! He starts screaming out with his stick. He's just smashing it. So the poor man, he gets ripped, cut, bruised, beat. And finally the father-in-law comes home. What happened? Please, is my son-in-law. So the moral of the story is we need a proper guide. If we don't have a proper guide, if you're not guided by proper guru, not guided by proper shastrika knowledge, by the example of great devotees, then what happens is we're like a blind man pulled by the cow. We just follow anybody blindly. Then we get misled and we suffer so much inconvenience. Spiritual path should be very smooth. If we have proper guide, proper guru, we are following the shastra, then we can avoid so many difficulties. But if we are just pulled along, following some improper guide, then like a blind man pulled by the cow, we'll be ripped and cut and bruised and beaten in so many ways. We'll be forced to suffer. So therefore, it's very important to find the proper guide, then to follow the process given by Shastra. And then one can very easily reach Krishna. It's not difficult. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his message was to let everyone get back to Krishna very easily. In this age of Kali, it's not difficult. We simply have to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the Kali Sutra Upanishad, this verse is mentioned. The 16 names of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is especially the means of purification from all the contamination of Kali Yuga. Iti sota sakam nanam Kali kalmasa nasanam nata purata upaya sarva vedeshu vishvate. There is no better alternative given in all the Vedas for this age of Kali. So this simple process is very sublime. We may say, just chanting Hare Krishna. No, the name of Krishna is all powerful. The name of Krishna can purify anything. That we should know how powerful Krishna's name is. We cannot put any limit to that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave this process, which is simple but is the most powerful. Sometimes people are very sick, they need injection. Very instant strong medicine. Or they have to take some very strong medicine. So this is also like a encapsulated form. You just take it very easy. Hare Krishna. Everything is inside. It's not difficult. It's condensed. In Pancharatra, Narayanamuni explains all the yantras, all the tantras, all the mantras have been combined in that Hare Krishna sound. This is Sabda Brahman. So by chanting, you are getting the effects, the multiple effects. But our mind is telling you guys, facility is there because now is a recession in dharma. It's like economic recession, now it's hardly recession. Depression. So to give a special opportunity for everyone, this Maha Mantra is given, the simple process is given. If we can even just concentrate on that, Krishna will be very pleased. But it's not that the process is new. This was also used in Satya Yuga, Acharya was delivered by chanting. In Dharpa Yuga, Draupadi started to cry the name of Krishna, and Krishna came and gave her unlimited sight. So all the yuga, Hanuman is always chanting the name of Ram, Ram Guru. So this process of Harinam is not a new process, but it is especially the process recommended for this age. And if we follow this process according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, then we can very easily achieve the success. Lord Chaitanya was open to everyone. He was respected also by everyone. It's interesting to know that when he was preaching, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people were following. One time, one minister asked the Emperor Hussein Shah, that the Emperor asked the minister, who is this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That minister was Hindu minister. He thought, if I tell the Mohammedan Emperor how great Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, maybe he'll become affected and want to take some revenge or something. So he said, let me just present it in a very definitive way. He said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a fakir. He's one of those mendicants traveling here and there, few people are following. The Emperor said, no, I don't believe you. My Lord, you're the Emperor, you're not a deva. So you tell what you think, you ask yourself, you say who you think he is, you'll be more able to know. So the Emperor said, well, I think that he is not different than Hora, not different than Allah. So, sir, how do you say that? What gave you that realization? He said, well, why are you working for me? Oh, sir, because of our great respect for you and devotion. No, no, you're working for me because I'm paying you. If I didn't give you a salary, you won't work for me. My generals won't work for me. My governors won't work for me. Nobody will be working for me if I don't pay them. Everyone in this whole kingdom, you know, empire is working because I'm giving them money. If I didn't give some gratification to my wife, I don't also know if she'll stay with me. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I see this person, big ministers, brahmanas, all kinds of people are going after him. He's not giving anybody any money. He's not giving them any material gratification. While everybody is going after him, then he must be giving them something divine. Otherwise, nobody works in this world for nothing unless you get directly some satisfaction from God. So I think that he must be not different from Allah. He must have that divine potency. Otherwise, how everybody is going after him? So in conclusion, just as this emperor could appreciate how rare it is for people to work without any material gratification, that is real love. We can experience love in this world when we are working for the Lord out of devotion. So we hope that all of you will try to do a little devotion for the Lord on a regular basis. And as you experience that love, that ecstasy, that bliss, then you'll also be able to achieve the full perfection of life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Someone has given a question already. Should ISKCON be not involved in the socio-political activity of this country? ISKCON is one of the rarest, purest, selfless collection of intellectuals that one could imagine. All of the full-time devotees are educated, intelligent, hard-working, extremely well-mannered, and cohesive. Thank you very much. I have all the feeling that this group of people have a lot more to contribute to the mankind at large. At present, your services attract only intelligent and religious-minded individuals into ISKCON. The benefits that come to the society are true but slow. To start with, ISKCON can think of a think tank to shake the... He's giving so many. What's the question? Yeah, there's no question. The only first line was the question. should ISKCON not be involved in social political activity of this country? You see, ISKCON, Prabhupada said he wants to keep us a society, especially to train the preachers, or train like the brahmanas, for giving guidance to the society. So, ISKCON will rather guide those who want to be doing that political activity, to guide them how to do that in a proper way. If we get involved in the political activity ourselves, that will distract the very dirty kind of situation that can pollute the whole atmosphere. So, just like Chanakya, he maintained a certain aloofness, although he was into that. He was not a great spiritualist, he was a moralist. But still he kept a certain standard of political culture. For us to maintain a neutrality, we have to stay above party politics. But we'll be very happy to guide any politician who wants to know how to organize the things so that people can be more progressive and a complete human being can be considered the complete society. But that way, we're not limited to only one political party. Any party can come and take advice, we're open to all. As far as the social activities, there are many social organizations we'll take into consideration in other countries. The many social organizations, you see, the problem is that there are few or any other organizations who are actually concentrating especially on the spiritual revival of India. This is at the very root cause of our social degeneration. So we are trying to solve that problem by going to the root. There are various ways of solving a problem. So we have to go to the root. One time there was a small boy, just to give an example. He had a boil on his back, and he was suffering a lot of pain. So he was crying out to his mother, "Mommy, Mommy, help me, I'm suffering, I'm feeling pain. Oh, oh, it hurts so much." So the mother was feeling so much compassion for the child. She called the boy Didi and said, "Please do something. The son is hurting." So the sister came and started to blow on that boil. It was a cooling breeze. That boy was in a little relief. But after she stopped blowing, again it was hurting. So mother was putting on some cool leaves from a nearby tree. Gave little relief, but again, that boil was throbbing. You know the boil? Is hurting so much in his back. So one uncle came and he asked the uncle, "What is the solution for this boy? He's suffering so much pain from the boil." So this uncle had visited many places and he had went to bed in Japan, China, many places. So he learned a little Buddhistic thought. So they asked him, "What is the solution?" He said, "I think the best solution is you kill the boy. If you kill the boy, all the problem will be finished. No more boil, no more pain, all solved. But the mother was not very appreciative of this solution. So finally, the father came and he saw the situation. He went to get a doctor. And the doctor saw the whole situation. Doctor immediately opened up his bag and took out his surgical knife. When the boy saw the surgical knife, he started to cry out, "No, no! Mommy, Sandy! He's going to kill me with the knife! I don't want to die by the doctor's knife! Let me die any other way! No, no, he's going to kill me!" He was crying out. Actually, the doctor is not going to kill the boy. The doctor went and cut the boil, took out the pus, the bad blood, the poison, put in the antiseptic, bandaged it up. Very soon the boy was feeling relief. Then the father apologized, "Please forgive us, our boy was abusing you, he's very unpolite, we're very sorry." So it doesn't matter, it's my duty to help people in distress. I'm a doctor after all, we have to face these problems. I'm very glad I could help you. Thank you very much. Goodbye. He took his pain away. So there are problems in society like this. How to solve it? Some people say put a bow on it. Put a leaf on it. That means those people who think their solution to life's problem is simply make some adjustment materially without any overall perception of the real problem, of the real destination of human society. These temporary solutions never give a lasting effect. In fact, one solution causes another problem. Then the other solution by the uncle is to kill the boy. This is like the Advaitavadi or the Sunyavadi. They say that if you just merge into the light, all the problems go. Does that mean we finish off our individuality? Our objectivo is ruined. We lose our individual cognizance of ourselves as separate from anything else. So this is like a spiritual suicide. The third example of the doctor is like a real bona fide guru who knows what is the problem and he gives the proper cure. Sometimes people criticize. You'll give so many nice phrases in your question, but many people, they also criticize. Because they don't know what is this Krishna conscious movement. We don't take any meat, fish or egg for diet. We don't take any intoxication, either coffee or tea. We don't, gamble, and we don't have extramarital sexual relations or this and that. They're very strict rule, very orthodox. But still some people, they say, oh, they're taking drugs, or they're, because they feel chanting and dancing on the street. They don't take coffee or tea, what to speak of drugs. But this type of thing, people can say anything without knowing the facts. And this thing we always are troubled by. So sometimes people falsely accuse, they misunderstand, but later when they get the relief, when actually they chant Hare Krishna, then they say, oh, very good, very good. So we're waiting for that day when people are appreciating, and many people are appreciating the good effect of chanting. And that's what we want. If one person can feel little relief, little happiness in life, that's enough for us. So in this way, we're trying to help society. In the Vedas, there is a role for the Brahmanas. Not everyone should be a Kshatriya. Not everyone should be in politics. The politician needs also a neutral person to guide them. This is a problem today. We have many politicians. Where is the guide? There's no Brahmanas. The kings have Brahmanas. But today there's no one to guide. Everybody is in politics. No one will give a neutral opinion. They'll be thinking out their own political interests. So this is one of the things we're missing. In the constitution, in that Rajya Sabha, which is supposed to be like the pundits of the, but now it's also all politicized. So I don't know what is the solution immediately, but the long-term solution, Prabhupada said, you need to get this type of political influence, the people who are above politics, to guide the politicians. So this is also an important role. Thank you very much.
Why the importance is given to Rama?
You have to ask Vyasadeva. The mantra we are getting from the Shastra, why the mantra is made somewhere? Why is this the holy sadhu? Why Krishna does so many things? You can ask. I won't be able to say. Someone asked me one time, why Krishna is quite decapitated? Why not another type of death? These things have no answer. We can make some speculation and show off some wisdom. But ultimately, these things are Krishna's own freedom of will. It's like Pikak is a very special word, it's like got so many good qualities. But this is Krishna, well, that's his breath, that's the way he dresses. There's no reason to it. So Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra, there's so many mantras. Why each mantra is made in a particular way, that is not so easily ascertained. We can say what the mantra means, what does it do? Why it's made in a particular way, I don't think that anybody can answer that question. But anyway, Krishna and Rama, they are both the most powerful names mentioned in the Vedas. In the Vedas it says that you chant the Sahasranam one, that's equal to chanting one name of Ram. And if you chant three names of Ram, that's equal to chanting one name of Krishna. But when you chant the Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Mantra, all of the mantras are equally powerful. So that means 300,000 times the name of Vishnu by chanting the entire Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this gives a multiple effect. So in his gates of Kali, you require special turbo power mercy. You need special powerful mercy. Because we have more contamination due to Kali Yuga. So that's why this mantra is especially prescribed. Also, it's very easy. Only three words, Hare Krishna and Rama. So you find in any country, whether African or Chinese or any country, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra they can chant. Many mantras are there they cannot pronounce. But Hare Krishna and Rama, only three words are there, but they're organized in 16 words. So it's very easy for anyone to memorize. They only have to memorize and pronounce three different separate words. Hare Krishna and Rama. So we are experiencing all over the world, nobody has difficulty to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is this the reason?
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for a Nirvana, perhaps better than Krishna, but then Sonupa Dhamma, for Akamari from South India to North India, to Jagannath Puri, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected the Sonupa Dhamma, accepted, taking both that. So here, we cannot know what is the reason. Since because he got mixed with the gypsy women, the character was not good. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him in asking to reject that. But in spite of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disciples said, was showing lot of mercy to this Damodar Swaroop and giving a shelter and sending to Ganga to inform Sakhi Mata that the arrival of Mahaprabhu. So please let us know. Why Chaitanya Prabhu, even though he is incarnated of mercy, he did not pardon him and took him back? What is the secret?
Well, you got the names all mixed up. Lord Chaitanya never rejected Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar is personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India for so many years, he was accompanied by one Krishna Das. Right? The Krishna Das, he was just a brahmachari assistant for Lord Chaitanya. But Krishna Das, when he was somewhere here in South India, there were some gypsies known as Bhattacharis. And they dropped the Krishna Das and they had some very loose women. And these women engaged him in illicit sex. And this way he was intoxicated and drugged and he was overwhelmed by this very sinful situation. So they are going to capture this person. This is how they would gain recruits into their gypsy clan. So Lord Chaitanya went there out of his mercy and grabbed his bhakta by the sika. He grabbed him out and pulled him out of there. And when those gypsies attacked him, the bhattacharis attacked, the weapons flew through their hands and started cutting on their own bodies. So this way Lord Chaitanya left. But being a sannyasi, how can he have a brahmachari assistant who already fell down with prostitutes and everything? So he said, you go back now and you stay in Jagannath Puri. And there you do your devotional service. But I can't keep you with me now because already you've broken all the principles, so better you go there. That's because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being a sannyasi, he had to show a very high standard. So he didn't keep brahmacharis with him if they were not following strictly the principles. Vihasta, if they are doing higher, you know, dharmic association with their wife, that was all right. But the brahmachari had to be very strict to stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya didn't want people to take his mercy as an excuse to do irreligion. Because he is very merciful. Before they came to bhakti, he would forgive them. But once they became an initiated devotee, if they were again breaking the principle, he would not keep with his immediate association. Because he said, this will encourage others to take the whole Dharma lightly. In fact, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, there were some people who caused a bad name for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement by doing all kinds of nonsense and saying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict. He was soft like a rose but he was also hard like a lion. He wouldn't tolerate anything against the Shastra, against Dika, something which was self-destructive. But if somebody was fallen, he would try to deliver that person. But he demanded that preachers should be of a pure standard, otherwise how they'll be able to preach. Then they should go live in their house or live in not trying to preach and do illicit activities.